good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word to the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus. In today's subject, we are going to be talking about the fire of God. Y'all know that I have been to the wilderness numerous times because I didn't get it the first time. And I was reading the other day in the Bible about the furnace and about refining and things like that. And I chose this subject for this week's show for two reasons. One, I have noticed lately more people going into the furnace or going into the desert, into the wilderness place, that place of testing and trial. So this week, we're going to talk about the furnace or the desert experience. We're going to talk about what it means for you if you are in or you are headed into the wilderness, into that place of testing and fiery trials. The number two reason, we know that we are in the end times. We know that the tribulation could begin at any moment. We also know that America, for one, is under God's judgment, and those judgments will begin falling any day now. We all know that September 13th is the Shemitah, a time of wiping the slate clean, of releasing the debts, and a time known to bring destructions in the past. The economy here in America is already showing some signs of decline. Is that a reason to fear? No, it is not if you are a believer. But if you are a believer, it is a reason to be aware and to prepare your understanding. So that's what we're going to do. The desert. You know, what made the desert so frustrating to the Israelites was that no matter how far they walked, how hot it got, how hungry, thirsty, or angry they were, they couldn't tell that they had gotten anywhere. It all looked alike. The next day, they were still in that hot, dry desert, and they still had to keep walking. All through the desert, God guided his people by a cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire by night. In the daytime, I think they needed a cloud to have hope of the shade or hope of cooler temperatures. Like now in Texas, it's July. The third week of July, we're in the height of summer, daily heat indices in the triple digits. This is how every summer is here, so we're accustomed to it, but hot is still hot, y'all. Blazing heat and bright sunshine. And we pray for cooling rainstorms. I'm sure the Israelites did as well, as they trudged over that blazing desert sand. So why do you think God led them at night by a pillar of fire? Well, let's think about that for a minute. What does fire do? We know that fire burns and that it hurts if you touch it. Fire destroys things. Fire also lights. It illuminates. That is why I believe the Lord chose the pillar of fire as the way to lead the Israelites at night. He wanted to illuminate things for them. If you have ever been led into the wilderness, into that furnace place by the Lord for purifying purposes, then I probably don't even need to explain fire to you. You've walked through it and come out the other side. The wilderness, the desert, or the furnace is not a physical place, though it happens in a physical place. The wilderness is a season or seasons of your life when the Lord is refining you. He is removing what is not pleasing to him, as you have requested, or as is needed in order for him to promote you to that place that you keep asking him to take you to. It is a time in your life when you feel absolutely everything is falling apart, like somebody pulled the rug out from under your life. Everything begins to unravel. Jobs, relationships, things that you depended on to get you through. Your finances are falling apart. Nothing is working. You may be suffering physically in addition to that, unable to take care of yourself. Maybe your very freedom is in jeopardy. people that you love around you are all acting crazy. It's like everything is hit all at one time. In Exodus and Deuteronomy, we read about when Moses, at God's command, led the Hebrew people, the Israelites, out of Egypt and away from slavery. He led them out to take them in, into the Promised Land, the land of milk and honey, meaning more than enough of good things. Anytime God leads you out of one place, He is taking you in to a better place. And that is a word for somebody. Sometimes those places don't look better at first. When you lose your job and you got to move back home to mama's house, it may not look better. But God always has a plan to bring us out, doesn't He? And if you are patient and obedient, He will show you that better plan. Now I'm talking to somebody right now. I believe a woman. And you have had to downsize and you are feeling very degraded. And you're a little bit angry at God that this happened. And the Lord says to you now, were it not for your pride, I would not have had to do this. He is saying you were rising up in the world and you were becoming prideful, thinking it was your own intelligence and beauty that did this. But you would not have your next breath without me, He's saying. I can take you lower, daughter. He's saying, I can take you lower. If you want to cling to that stubborn pride, I can take you lower. I see you have thought about just letting go of God because you're angry. He says He can take you much lower than you are right now if that's what it takes to rid you of that pridefulness. Woman of God, I spent many months in terrible, terrifying wildernesses for God to get the pride out of me. I hope you do not have to go through that. You know, God never turns loose of something that's His, and that includes us. Even if you think you stop believing, if you were ever a true believer, you never really stop believing in Him. And He will keep dropping you lower and then coming back and knocking on that door again. However many times it takes, or until you run out of time. Okay, back to the desert. So God takes us out of one place to take us in to a better place. He knows where the provision is. He knows where the protection is. He knows where everything we need is. He knows where the godly mate is, where the job is. He knows everything. In the desert, everything looks desolate, desperate, and scary. We can't see where we're going, and the bridge has been burned to where we came from. We're stuck. And it seems like the faster we paddle, you know, trying to get away, trying to get ahead, the further behind we get. So everything that we normally did in our own power to get us out of these kinds of situations doesn't work out there. It will not work when you are in the desert season, in a wilderness season. I think that was one of the most terrifying aspects of the wilderness for me. I have always been a hard worker. If I needed more money, I just worked more. Two jobs, whatever it took, right? But in the wilderness, even that don't work. Only God can help you there. The reason is because when the Lord is trying to teach you to depend on Him for something, He will not let you get it any other way. Can I just tell you that? When He is trying to teach you to depend on Him for something, He won't let you get what you need any other way but depending on Him. So until you get it, that you have to depend on Him, and until you lay down your pride and your independence and whatever else you got going on there, and start depending on Him, you're going to stay right where you are, period. Round and round the mountain we go. For nearly 40 years, the Israelites went around the mountain because they didn't get it. And it was an 11-day trip. It sometimes takes us 40 years to get stuff God wanted to give us in 11 days too, y'all. I know it did me. You know, another reason I wanted to do this show on the wilderness is I really feel... In September, you know, there's talk of an economic collapse in America, and I will tell y'all the truth. I've studied this and studied this, and I've listened to many of Jonathan Cahn's teachings and read his books. I honestly don't see how we can avoid a collapse at this point. So we need to know how to walk through these desert seasons because we may be about to enter into one. Funny thing about our promised land, too. I was studying for this, and, you know, I found where the Lord told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 8, He said, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. That, those are all their enemies. So what he's saying is it's got all this good stuff, but it's also got all the enemies in it. And in verse 12 of that chapter, he said, certainly I will be with you. In other words, I'll be with you. I'll walk with you, Moses, if you just do this. So he told Moses that they were going into a good land and large, flowing with milk and honey. And I looked on the internet for exactly what that means, and I found it at Shabbat.org. The key word in the verse is flowing. Fruit trees grow in many different terrains. This is a quote from their site. But their produce overflow with nectar only when the land is especially fertile, when the trees are particularly well nourished. Similarly, livestock survives in many habitats, but only overflow with milk when they are in particularly fertile pastures. Thus, a land flowing with milk and honey is indicative and symptomatic of a greater good, the fertility of the promised land. That's the end of that quote. And poor Moses, who definitely had his hands full, in 5:23 says to the Lord, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. In other words, I told him what you said, and it got worse. And we didn't get anything you said you were going to give us. Moses took God at his word when he took this assignment, like we are supposed to do. And he was saying, come on, Lord, you have not done what you've said. How often does God speak a promise to us in the desert or even before it, and we expect him to perform it the very next day? I used to be just like that. I think that God gives us those glimpses into the glory of our future to sustain us through everything he knows we must walk through to get there. It's to give us strength to build our faith so that we can walk through the hard places on the way there. If he had told those people they were going to walk in the desert for 40 years, would they have gone? I don't think so. Hey, y'all are going to be circling a mountain in the desert. You're not going to have enough water, food, or anything else for 40 years. And then the ones of you that are left, I'm going to take you into the promised land, but a bunch of you are going to die. What? They'd be like, no, just that's okay. Just leave us with our onions and leeks and garlics. Probably the most difficult aspect of the wilderness after the constant fear, because your life as you knew it is dissolving before your very eyes, is dealing with the discouragement. At least it was for me. Fighting off the hopelessness that tries to overtake you when you see that you can do nothing to change your situation. You try everything that you knew before, everything that always worked before. Nothing works. Friends let you down. People shut their door to you. You can't get a job. I mean, nothing works. Can you imagine how the Israelites felt? Out there in the desert, no tent, no water, no sense of where they were going or where when they might get there. Then watching as people died and wondering if they were next. Not being able to ask God themselves, not being able to pray and get answers like we can. They couldn't even pray, y'all. Only the high priest could only do that. They did not have the Bible to go to for comfort and assurance. We have his word. They didn't even have that. Can you imagine how they felt out there walking in the heat on the blazing hot sand, carrying everything they own, trying to take care of their sick, their old people, their little kids, and walking, walking, walking in the hot sun all day, every day? I cannot imagine how hopeless that must have felt and how hopelessness must have tried again and again to take over their minds. But here's what we must always remember, especially when we are in the desert seasons. You cannot receive anything from God without faith. That's why I want y'all to get this, because you have to have faith. You must believe to receive anything, whether it's healing, provision, your next drink of water, deliverance, anything, a place to live, a job. You must believe to receive it if you're going to get it from God. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. In Exodus 24:17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Talking about while Moses was up in the cloud-covered mountain getting the commandments. I want to talk to you about fire, because many of us have prayed for the fire in our preaching, the fiery anointing, the fire, the fire. People think they can play out in the world and still have the anointing of God in church. Oh, I am talking to somebody right now. There's a man listening to this show right now. Sir, you have been having an affair on your wife. She's a pretty woman and she's very feminine. You preach and you think it does not affect your anointing, but the Lord says you know that's a lie. And he wants you to quit that immoral relationship right now, sir, right now. Or he says he will take your flock from you, period. He is saying he will take it in a way that there is nothing you can do to save it from being taken from you, and you and that woman will both be disgraced. He is also saying your wife will get everything, everything, and honor besides, because he says she is a God-fearing, holy, and righteous woman. He wants you to quit that relationship right now, and if you do not, he is saying he will hasten this word to perform it that he has spoken to you tonight. There are people who think they can play out in the world and still have the anointing in church. But you have to be a clean vessel if you want the Holy Ghost to flow through you. You want more of God's power to flow through you? Let the fire purify you. Let the cross do its work. Stop running from the discomfort of being conformed to his image. Get in his word. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist speaking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If you want to hold on to your sin, do not pray and ask God for more anointing. Don't pray and ask him for more of his power. You get your life right, you won't even have to ask. It'll just be there. God's fire and his glory come together in one package. You don't get one without the other. Because until the fire purifies your life, the glory has no place to flow through. Exodus 29:41. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof for a sweet savour, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. When this offering was burned with fire, then it became holy to him. Our lives are like that too. But don't pray for the fire in your life unless you really want it, because the fire burns hot and it hurts. Psalm 97. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. Anything that is in your life that is an enemy to God's will or plan for you will be burned down when the fire comes. The fire of God will make you think you're going to die sometimes when you're in the wilderness. It will make you think you're not going to make it as it burns up the things in your life that are not pleasing to him. If you let him, he will come in and burn up everything that is not of him and give you a fresh start, another chance to get it right. He'll purify you. He'll talk to you as the flames leap higher and higher in your life, and then he'll bring beauty out of those ashes, because that's what he does. The funny thing about the fire is the only thing that the fire will consume are those things that are not part of God's will for you. Like the bush that Moses saw, anything that is burned and not consumed becomes a vessel that God can speak through. Moses was burned in the desert but not consumed. The children of Israel were consumed. They were consumed by gossip and murmuring and complaining. They were consumed by fear and negativity. They were consumed with idolatry. Just like we all get consumed by those things sometimes. But getting consumed by anything that is not of God can cost you your trip to the promised land. Do you want the fire anointing? You want that anointing that burns down bondages when you lay hands on somebody? The anointing that imparts to them a fire to spread the gospel, a zeal for holiness that cannot be quenched? Be careful what you pray for. Because before you can carry the fire anointing, everything in your life must be burned. Everything in your life must pass through the fire before you can carry the fire. And the only things left on the threshing floor when he's done with the fire are those things that he can use. In order to get the fire, you cannot be afraid of the heat. So as I was studying for this show, I started reading all the verses that had to do with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire and all that. So let me read these to you. Some of these. I'm going to read you seven of them. Exodus 13:21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Exodus 13:22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Exodus 14:24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Numbers 14:14. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among his people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Nehemiah 9:12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Nehemiah 9:19. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to shew them light and the way wherein they should go. Okay, let me tell you something about these seven instances that I found. In every single one, God was in the pillar of fire. 13:21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and by night in a pillar of fire. Okay, Exodus 13:22. He took not away the cloud or the pillar from them because he was there in it. Exodus 14:24, the Lord looked unto the host of Egyptians through the pillar of fire. He was there. Numbers 14:14. Thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Nehemiah 9:12. Thou leddest them in the day by the cloudy pillar and in the night by the pillar of fire. Nehemiah 9:19. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. Okay, and then it talks about the pillar of fire and the cloudy. If you're in the fire, God's in there with you, just like with the three Hebrew men. They looked at King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and there was four, and he said the fourth one looked like the Son of God, because he was in the fire with them. If you're in the fire, he's in there with you, but it's still going to burn and it's still going to hurt, okay? And it's still going to burn up everything in your life that is not of him or not pleasing to him. Okay, I'm running out of time, so let me pray for y'all. Wherever you are today, know that the Mighty One of Israel has not cast you away. God has not given up on you. There is somebody listening to this show right now, and you have gotten into sin. You think that God does not want you anymore, that he has given up on you. Sir, he has not given up on you, and he is telling me to tell you, I will never give up on you. You are my son. And he wants you to get back to work for his kingdom, get back to winning souls for him. He says you're really good at winning souls, and that's why the devil is trying so hard to dissuade you from your walk. You have been very unhappy since you stopped working for God, but you thought that God didn't want you anymore. God is declaring that a lie from the pits of hell. Let it go. Get back to work. And those of you who are in the wilderness as you listen to this, or if you're in the fiery furnace, when you're down to nothing, God is always up to something. It's always darkest before the dawn. So just hang on a little bit longer. And remember, whatever your situation is, God wants to bless you with the maximum blessing. And he does that by getting the maximum amount of glory out of your situation. He is a last-minute God, but he is not an absent God. He is a faithful God, and he will never, ever be unfaithful to his word. You can believe his word. His promises are true. You know everything's worse at night, right? It's a known fact that the symptoms of illness increase at night. Pain feels worse at night. Time in the sunshine in the daytime actually decreases pain. That's a scientific fact. God never gives us more than we can bear. So just climb up on a promise of God and stand, child of God, and keep standing. Lord God in heaven, we praise your great name today. Lord, we exalt your name on high. We know that you are King of the universe and that you hold all power over heaven and earth. Lord, I pray that you would help every person listening to see what you are trying to show them so they can start moving out of the wilderness, Lord, out of the desert and into their promised land. There's not much time left, Lord, and we really do want to receive our blessings while we're here, whichever ones we can have. And we know that we have to do things your way in order to receive. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, what you would have us to do, what you want us to let go of, where to leave, what to release. We want to honor you. Help us to rejoice, though now for a season we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' matchless name, I pray for every listener. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I pray that this program has been a blessing to you. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Just how soon will Jesus return? There's a 2,500-year-old prophecy spoken to this generation of Americans that is directly connected to the Second Coming and is happening right now. Learn about it and a whole lot more in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning.